Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. We are brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. It was an interesting edition of Stillman and Company yesterday here on 102.5 The Game. And Jared Stillman reporting yesterday that according to sources, Aaron Rodgers has purchased land in Williamson County where he intends to build a home. According to other sources, he is open to playing for the Titans and that some of his Packer teammates believe that he is not coming back to the Packers. So obviously that garnered a lot of attention, still is. From Jared Stillman and his show yesterday. We'll just start with this. What do you make of that report and what this could potentially mean for the future of Aaron Rodgers, that he has bought some land in Williamson County? According to Jared's sources, he is open to playing for the Titans and that some of his Green Bay Packers teammates believe that he's not coming back to Green Bay.
That's good to have this stuff. We need more things like this. We need more real estate-related sports news. Look, it's interesting. It's a good job by Jared. Good information. Interesting for sure that Aaron Rodgers is building a house here. You know, he's like a lot of people with a lot of money. He's got houses in different places, and a lot of people move here or build houses here for various reasons. And his fiance and Reese Witherspoon. By the way, on the text line earlier, good call on Reese Witherspoon. She's not from here per se. She's from New Orleans, but she went to Harpeth Hall.
And yep.
So she's not just like a Johnny come lately like some people around here.
Yeah.
Like she actually, I'm looking at you, Michelle. She actually.
See, I was looking at you.
Well, Joe, didn't you?
I'm practically an original compared to Michelle.
That
come
is,
on.
That is true.
But
makes me a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Robbie, you're a unicorn. You're from here.
Yeah.
You emerge from the earth. But she's very good friends with her. They did a great show, by Big Little Lies. I always
so good. Big Little Lies, yes.
Never
and
seen
then
it.
She's in another one called Little Fires Everywhere.
See, but then isn't there another one that's like Little Pretty Things or something? Like these show titles.
Pretty Little Liars?
Is that what it is?
No, she's not in it.
But Big Little Lies is the one with Reese Witherspoon, with Shailene Woodley, with Lenny Kravitz's daughter, who's fantastic. That's a great show, great series. And anyway, they're good friends, so it could have nothing to do with football.
Joe's also in the friend group. You know, he hangs out with them.
I think he's buying a house down here just to be closer to Reese Witherspoon. That's some dedication right there to that friendship. You just hop on a plane and
well,
say hi.
No, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, maybe it's like, wow, this is a great place to live.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be fun. I mean, you know, Malibu, Green Bay, Nashville. Like you said during the break, if the – we're trying to figure out, like, are there headlines of this? There's been some aggregation off this.
Yep.
There's been a lot of sarcastic tweets about this coming from Green Bay. If Aaron Rodgers sold the Green Bay house, that's a little more like, okay, he's not going to be living there.
Right.
He could, you know, obviously have this house here and play anywhere. I mean, the of the three things there, building a house, it's interesting. Teammates think he's not going to be there. Okay. Frankly, like they find out on Pat McAfee's show like everybody else, right? Probably for the most part. But the open to playing here is the one where like, okay, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that the Titans would be on his list of teams that he'd be okay for the Packers trading him to, which he does have that power? I don't know.
Or does it mean that he's open to playing anywhere? He's
right.
Just open to everything at this point. You also got to realize that Rodgers is a bit of a different dude. I don't know if y'all have noticed that or not, but he's kind of a different dude. And the way he talks about that sort of things of, you know, just go watch him on the McAfee show. I don't like closing doors to anything. All this. So open can mean a lot of things when it comes to this guy in particular.
Right, yeah. So, but, it's interesting for sure. And, you know, you can get into the weeds on what would a trade look like. I mean, I feel like what it would look like would be a lot that the Packers would ask for, and probably that doesn't take care still of the fact that you would need to trade Tannehill probably to somebody else. So that's why we're right around 98, 99% that Tannehill's the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Green Bay could take on his contract, although right now Green Bay's $50 million into salary cap purgatory.
Like, if so I'm like, Green Bay, I've drafted Jordan Love, and if I'm losing Aaron Rodgers, if I have to trade Aaron Rodgers, then I'm going to go ahead and give my rookie deal quarterback a chance.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not taking I'm saying on some huge Tannehill salary with Tannehill. I don't want any of that.
No. So what are you giving up if you're the Titans? It'd be interesting to see. Well, and who are you trading Tannehill to? Like, if it's not, if you want Rodgers and he's coming here, like you said, I doubt Green Bay wants Ryan Tannehill. So who are you trading Tannehill to at that point? Be interesting.
Who in the NFL right now would actually be excited about Tannehill as their quarterback?
Well,
I mean, there are teams that would be better. Yeah, that would be better at quarterback with Tannehill.
I think those are two different questions. Like, who would be excited about it? I don't know. Are there teams out there that would have a better quarterback situation? Yes. I guess my question is, like, if you're getting Ryan Tannehill and you're a team out there, like, if you're the Browns, there's a lot of talk about Baker Mayfield. Like, are you really that much better with Tannehill than you are Baker Mayfield?
No,
I don't think so.
You don't think so. They don't think so. No one thinks so. Also, Baker is still on his rookie deal, right?
He is.
Was his option year is
coming up this year? They got to, I think, decide whether or not they're going to pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's no way. I mean, yeah, you know, when he was bad this year, he was also banged up this year. It's just Tannehill's in that. You know,
maybe Carolina.
Again, he's a good quarterback. There you go, Carolina. Keep trying. Yeah. Keep trying different
from Darnold to Newton to Tannehill.
I mean, it keeps not working. At some point, you're going to hit on something. You know, like Tannehill's not, you know, he's not super old, but he's not young. He's got a big deal now, you know. So, like, the appeal just isn't there.
What about Tampa?
I can't think for many.
Tampa needs a quarterback.
Tampa.
Brady's gone.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the Kyle Trask show down there?
A lot of people think that that's Jimmy G's. Landing spot, but that's, you know, that's
sure Brady would love that
potential.
Someone just called and said the Falcons, Tannehill to the Falcons.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
Yeah, we've talked about that, like the whole Matt Ryan Tannehill. You know.
Well, if you're getting Aaron Rodgers, Atlanta's not going to take Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill. Like, the whole point of this trade would be to get Aaron Rodgers. Like, the Titans should not, in my view, the Titans should not have interest in Matt Ryan.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Well, I thought maybe the call was just talking about do a swap of Rodgers and Ryan or Tannehill and Ryan. If you're talking about in this scenario, then right. I mean, that doesn't fit.
Yeah, why would the Titans want to do that?
Yeah. So,
I mean, I know Matt Ryan has been a very good player. He's also, what is he now? 37, 38. And it's not like Rodgers 37, 38. It's a little bit of a difference.
It's a difference. Meanwhile, there's some good, you know, fighting back and forth on Twitter about this whole thing between Jared and the A to Z guys, who apparently they've also reported that there's more Packers coming. Is that right?
I guess we've got a
Packers compound.
Former Packers?
A Packers compound in Franklin.
So the real question is,
invited?
Robbie, how happy are you if this
invited?
Were to happen?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I would get, like, if he's going to get traded, I would much rather be here than anywhere else. I'll say that. Like, if he's going to leave the Packers, come on down here. Why not?
Yeah. Alex Doherty has a really nice little illustration of Aaron Rodgers playing a guitar with a cowboy hat on, a Titans logo behind it.
He does play. He plays guitar.
And Alex says, well, I'm moving to Canada. So there you go. It's fun. It's fun to talk about.
Do you think this actually means anything in terms of not necessarily his interest, because his interest is going to be really difficult to – determine until he's good and ready to say it. So, you know, that'll probably happen in the next few weeks if you take him at his word for what he said a few weeks ago on the McAfee show. If you're the Titans, does the fact that maybe he's moving down here influence your decision one way or the other? Like, if you're John Robinson, is it worth a phone call to his agent or whoever saying, all right, would there be any interest? Like, how much interest is real when it comes to Aaron Rodgers playing for the Titans? What does open mean?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, if John Rodgers, you're not acting on he built a house, he's building a house here, like, great, okay, go get George Kittle, too, and why have you not hired Bill Belichick yet? I mean, he lives here, too.
Yeah.
But the open to part of it, I mean, that's got to raise an eyebrow. But again, even without any of that stuff, I would hope that John Robinson would be looking at every possibility.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling other GMs, talking about things. I mean, seriously, if you go through that situation, let's say the Titans, okay, they have to figure out some other trade for Tannehill to somebody. Somebody who would feel like they would actually benefit greatly and would gladly take on that contract.
The Dolphins. Send him back down.
I'd love it.
Their owner would do it right now.
I think Stephen Ross right now would. If he could keep ownership of the team, he'd employ 1,000 Tannehills. What would the Packers be asking? Okay, so certainly they'd be asking for first-round picks, future first-round picks. Because if you're the Packers and this is happening, aren't you – I know that Jordan Love's on a rookie deal and you hope he comes along.
You're rebuilding.
But you're in a – yeah, like you're rebuilding, right? I mean, you're probably – you just probably want draft capital. And then, you know, if you got some really good players on their first contracts, you would go. Like, I'd ask for Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
You know? I'd ask for Jeffrey Simmons. I'd ask for
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, yeah.
Well, and the reason I think Rodgers is about to make a decision pretty quickly here is because there is a tag deadline, and that's going to impact Devontae Adams. Like, right now the Packers don't have a deal with Devontae Adams. So if they think there's still a chance of getting Aaron Rodgers, they're going to tag Devontae Adams, and he's not going to get a long-term deal. And Devontae's not signing a long-term deal before he knows what's happening with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So why Aaron Rodgers is making this decision as quick as he will.
And he'll play on the tag as long as he's getting passes from 12 next year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that part of it's going to have to be figured out pretty soon. We'll continue the discussion on Aaron Rodgers purchasing land here in the Nashville area. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yep, free parking. We know what a big deal that is downtown. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar, and you can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to great chicken sandwiches to flatbread pizzas and the famous smash burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. There's a lot of yelling on Twitter back and forth about crediting the Aaron Rodgers story.
Uh-oh. What do we got? Still going back and forth?
Still going. Yeah, everything's going on. It's good stuff.
Catch me up. What's the best one? Let's give people the highlights.
It's just people yelling.
Is it Jared screaming?
It's not. He hadn't screamed anymore yet. I'm waiting on his response.
Oh, okay. So other people are screaming.
Other people screaming.
Austin?
No, it's just kind of
screaming.
Random people on Twitter just screaming back and forth.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I got you. In the mentions.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of mentions. Matt from Paris texting in says, Rob, do you think Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay is warranted? This is coming from Matt from Paris. Yeah, I think there's a shot. I think there is a legitimate chance that he wants out. A lot of that is, you know, the relationship between he and Brian Gutekunst has gotten better. He admitted that a couple weeks ago on McAfee. It said they're in a pretty good spot right now. So I don't think it's as much about the relationship as it was last year. Like right now, it's more about the team. I mean, they're $50 million in the hole in terms of their cap. So, and that Za'Darius Smith's probably going to be cut. You know, David Bakhtiari missed the whole year last year with injury, came back for a Lions game, and then couldn't play in the playoffs. Like, you're going to have to take a look at his contract. I mean, they've got Whitney Merciless you're going to have to cut. I mean, there's a whole lot of guys out there that are just not going to be there next year. They might have to cut Aaron Jones at running back. Like, there's a lot of different things they're going to have to do. So, if he stays there, they'll still be good next year, and they'll probably win the division. I mean, probably is out the door. They're going to win the division if he's there next year. But their team will not be better next year than it was this year, and you just lost in the divisional round. Now, does the team not being better next year than it is this year mean that you're automatically, you know, not going to win the Super Bowl? Not necessarily. I mean, I fully believe their team was good enough this year to win the Super Bowl, and they just didn't. But I think I think the decision this time around is more about the team and the direction and the salary cap than it is the relationships. Because it seems like the relationships, based on what he said, have gotten better. So, I don't know. I think there's a legitimate chance he leaves.
And it seems like it's one of those things where if he's coming back, then some of those departures you mentioned probably won't happen, and they'll figure out ways to, again, like, keep it together as much as you can and kick it down the road and try to go for it again.
Yep.
And if it turns out that, you know, that they've that basically they've decided that they've got to trade him, then that's where you get into probably quite an exodus and a reboot for them.
Yep.
And Matt LaFleur, you know, we'll see if he can continue to win at this clip. Probably not.
Well, when he goes,
but he's done well.
Goes 13-4 with Jordan Love. Give him Coach of the Year. There you go.
I mean, I'd give him 5 Coach of the Years in a row if he does that.
I got a text that says, send Tannehill to the Commanders. They can use their first-round pick to get their franchise quarterback and have him as needed, as a good, strong quarterback. Yes, the first time the Washington Commanders have been involved in trade talks. I like it.
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill, your next quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Yeah. Got a nice ring to it.
That's not bad. It would be an upgrade. All due respect to Heinicke.
Yeah.
I can't keep in my mind if it's Taylor or Tyler Heinicke. That's how good he is as a quarterback.
It is Taylor.
Okay, thank you.
Got a lot of people on the text line saying Tannehill to Tampa Bay. Like, that's come in.
My personal text line.
Yeah. Brady's just retired. You know, they still got a decent team. Although they're going to have to do some shuffling with their salary cap, which I think may be part of the reason that Brady decided to bolt when he did.
But, yeah, no, they've kicked the can.
Oh, they have. So, I mean, there's some work they're going to have to do, but Tannehill comes in and you can still be a pretty good team and, you know, win that division, which now doesn't have Sean Payton, and you've got Carolina that doesn't have a quarterback, and Atlanta who is getting older and doesn't have a defense at the moment. So, I don't know. Maybe Tannehill to Tampa Bay. A lot of talk about that on the text line.
Well, I will say, if Tannehill goes to – because right now, I mean, that division next year sets up to be maybe worse than, like, what the NFC East has been lately. It could be terrible.
There's Taysom Hill, so keep that in mind.
Well, yes, I can't forget him. Tannehill goes to Tampa Bay. That's the clear favorite to win the division. So I think Tampa Bay, again, Jimmy G has been a very popular. It's a much more simple deal for them to land him, and it's pretty similar in quality. I would say Tannehill's better than Jimmy G, though. So
I would say so. I understand that he just threw 3 picks, but
yeah,
some of the passes that Jimmy G throws. Just like, really? Tannehill will miss players down the field, and he'll throw some bad picks. So I don't want to act like Tannehill's like significantly better than Jimmy G. But how often does Tannehill miss like a wide open guy 20 yards over his head? Doesn't seem like it happens that often.
I'm talking about that
George Kittle right in the middle of
Kittle field. Over the middle.
He overthrew him by 20 yards.
Yeah.
He was 12 yards away from him.
But either way, either of those guys goes to Tampa Bay, ends up in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a favorite to win. So I guess you could look at it like for them, they don't want to completely fall apart here.
Headline from Pro Football Talk. The Titans emerge as a potential suitor for Aaron Rodgers. It makes sense for Rodgers. For the Titans, it could be hard to pull off financially. This is coming from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. And the second paragraph. On Tuesday, Jared Stillman
of
102.5 The Game in Nashville reported that Packers quarterback has purchased land and is in the process of building a house in Franklin, Tennessee.
There it is. Got your credit. Now, Jared, can you stop yelling at the A to Z guys? I'm going to guess no. But there you go. You got some Mike Florio love for it.
Got a texter that says, John Robinson said the other day that Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback, so why are people even excited about Rodgers moving down to Nashville?
Well, first of all, again, excited. Is it worth reporting if you have that information? Yes, it is. I mean, when I listened to Jared yesterday, he must have given the disclaimer every 20 seconds. I'm not saying this, this, and this. You know, it's not saying he's going to the Titans, et cetera, et cetera. It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting information. Also, yes, I do take John Robinson's endorsements for Tannehill seriously, and I think that they were strong, and they were stronger than they needed to be. But this would be, I don't know, the millionth time that something like that's happened, and then the person giving the endorsement still makes a move that does not match up with the statements. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall correctly, John Robinson was backing Marcus Mariota, and then he brought in Ryan Tannehill, and Ryan Tannehill was the starter.
Yeah, you could. Well, that's a good point. You can go back to preseason 2019 or, you know, Robinson at the 2019 Combine, I'm sure you could find some very glowing comments about Marcus Mariota and all that stuff. And, you know, like, I mean, actions can always, you know, can always be contrary to words in sports. I mean, how many ADs give glowing, you know, not recommendations. You know, how many ADs out there?
Vote of confidence.
Thank you. The vote of confidence. The dreaded vote of confidence before firing someone.
Well, you know, we believed everybody at their word. Nick Saban still be with the Dolphins, maybe. Wouldn't be at Alabama.
And
I will not be the coach at Alabama.
That is true.
Really?
Yeah. So, but I will say that Robinson, I would have 100% expected him the first time he was asked, and Jim Wyatt was the first one to ask him about Ryan Tannehill, to throw his support at Ryan Tannehill and support him and say he's our quarterback. I will say that the strength of the endorsement says, well, one, I think probably a little bit annoyed by all the bashing. I mean, we're well into week two of Ryan Tannehill as public enemy number one in Nashville.
Yep.
And two, maybe it has something to do with, I mean, I'm sure that right after the game, his mind was racing on not just quarterback, but other positions. It's the offseason now.
Yeah.
Way earlier than you hope. What can all get better? I'm sure he's thought about every possibility with this. And he's probably come to the conclusion at this point, and it's the sound conclusion that it can't happen. It's not going to happen.
That's going to get people
unless
upset.
Unless
Aaron Rodgers
is
showing. Aaron Rodgers moves down. He shows up to the Titans facility. He says, hey, guys. About to request a trade. Just letting you know. He can walk in like Jim Harbaugh. Just act like he's already the quarterback. Jim Harbaugh acts like he's already the coach of the Vikings. Rodgers walks in the facility. Hey, guys. Hey, Ryan. What's going on over there? How you doing? Good to see you. Here to work out.
Hey, is that your desk? Yeah, here. Let me put my stuff over here. Yeah, Harbaugh comes in there yesterday. All right, guys. Let's get through this formality. No, coach. We're actually interviewing other candidates right now, too. Nah, come on. I got my khakis with me. Wearing his cleats.
Oh, man. I am interested to see, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is there ever like a leak this offseason of John Robinson or the Titans making calls on a quarterback, whether it's Rodgers or Wilson or whoever? Does something ever come out this offseason of, yeah, the Titans tried to get another quarterback, or is it just as simple as they just love Ryan Tannehill? They're not trying. Like, I'm interested to see how that goes this offseason because I'm still – look, 98%. That's my percentage. 98% Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback to start next season. I'm interested if anything ever comes out about that this offseason.
I was at 97, but after talking through this on this show, again, I'm going to go up to 98.5.
Okay. So you're back in the lead.
But that still leaves a percent and a half possibility. Yeah, and if you are you worried, like, do you not want Ryan to know, like, do you fear for like his confidence if he finds out that you've been calling on people?
I don't care about that.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't care about, like, I don't necessarily want to send a message to him, and I don't really care if the message comes to him. It's
right.
It's the National Football League.
Exactly. Like, you got to be able to handle things like that in this league. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators radio analyst Hal Gill. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you. And as we do every Thursday morning at 9:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Just heading to my alumni skate. We don't take breaks with the alumni.
That's
we don't
right.
take all-star breaks. You know, so we have to grind it out, even through the rain.
That's right. You just got to power through. Hal Gill still getting it done out there on the ice, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Hal, with that in mind.
Well, I don't know if I'm getting it done, but I'm out there.
Oh, you're getting it done. I've got 100% confidence in you. So, Hal, here we are at the All-Star break. Forsberg has 24 goals in 33 games. And, you know, obviously so many people are focused on his future and his contract and all those things. I'm just curious from your vantage point, why is this happening? Like, how has he been as consistently productive as he's been to this point? What do you think's gone into it?
Well, the outsider looking in goes, well, it's a contract year, and he's just trying harder.
That sounded like Jared. Really, was that Jared voice?
Hey, an outsider. I said an outsider, so hey, you're calling Jared an outsider. I'd agree with you. But listen. He's playing the right way. He's doing the right things. And if you look at, and I throw Duchesne in the same category. They're doing the right things, and so they're getting rewarded for it. And if you look back on last year, both those guys, like their ice time went down a little bit, and I think John Hines was saying, hey, if you want to play, you want the minutes, you got to put the work in defensively. And so, and then in the offensive zone, they got to play the right way. You got to attack the net. You got to drive. And now they're doing it. You saw the last game, Forsberg goes to the net, gets a deflection goal. Then he gets set up on the one-timer for the pretty one on the power play. But he's doing the right things, and Duchesne is doing the right things. And I don't discredit you have to look around and say, okay, why are they doing the right things? Well, there's Mikhail Granlund in the middle of those guys, and he's been doing the right things for a long time. And he's throwing apples out at these guys and taking care of them and grinding it out, and they're all doing the right things. And, hey, look it, they're all having success. So a lot of fun to watch, though. Like Forsberg is, every time he touches the puck, he should have had a hat trick, and Duchesne should have gotten the assist on it. He just kind of bounced off his stick with the empty netter. But all those things that they're doing, working hard for each other, and it's showing up on the score sheet, which is nice to see if you're a Preds fan.
So I want to continue on the whole contract year thing, because I've had arguments with Jared on this too. And look, I feel like, Hal, it's natural that you'd know this if you're a player, that maybe, I don't know, whatever, like the daily, your day, you eat like an extra apple a day because it's a contract year, or maybe there's a little bit different focus. I just have never felt like Forsberg didn't play hard. I just feel like maybe it's the way he's playing. The style is a little different. And first of all, tell me if you agree with that, but then also, then how much does Hines get credit for? I mean, it's, these guys are all pros. I mean, I think there's still limitations to what a coach, the impact a coach can have, but I don't know. It just seems to me like Hines has kind of unlocked this with, like you said, not just Forsberg.
Yeah, you go up and down the lineup and you have everyone playing the right way. And the right way is responsible defensively, taking care of, you're not cheating out of the zone. You see sometimes there's guys that'll kind of, you go out to block a shot and then you do the flyby looking for the breakaway on the other side. And they're not doing that. They're taking care of the defensive end first, and then they're going. And, it's tough when you say, does a coach get credit? Well, the coach isn't on the ice. The players have to do it. But there has to be a little bit of responsibility and accountability on the coaching side. And so if the players are going out there and playing the right way, doing what the coach has asked, and they get success, then it's a lot easier to get that buy-in. And I think, the first thing that John Hines said about Forsberg's game is that he's got to play a power game first and let his skill take over. And if you look at a lot of the goals that Phil has scored have been power moves. And, he's going to get his shot off. He's going to get his chances. But he pushes defensemen back with his power and then is able to get that opening to get that shot off. So it's a little combination of doing all the right things defensively and doing all the right things offensively. But, it comes down, in my opinion, it's maybe not just the coach talking to Forsberg, Phil, and saying, hey, Phil, you got to play this way. I think a lot of it has to do with maybe the culture of the team. And you look at what the Beast line has done. They've been, at the end of last year, they really came on strong. And I think a lot of guys are looking around and go, okay, that's our culture now. That's the way we play. And you put Phil Forsberg into that with Matt Duchesne and say, okay, you guys go play that way. And that's why you're seeing the success. So it starts from the coach. So you have to give the coaching staff, and not just Hines, but the rest of the coaches have really implemented this culture, and then you have a buy-in from the players, and the players are ultimately going out and doing it, and then you're seeing the success on the other side with Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson, all these guys scoring goals. You know, we looked at that stat from Johansson where he's got 5 rush goals this year, and he had like 3 over the last 2 years. And so that's definitely a change in the way that he's playing faster, playing more of an attack set off the rush. And that's a whole team thing.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Hal, obviously you've been on some really good teams, Stanley Cup winning teams, and have been a part of some really good defense corps. I just feel like this defense corps that the Predators have, especially when everybody's healthy, they complement each other really well in terms of their style and kind of like the individual games that form the collective unit. I'm just curious, from your vantage point and decors that you've been on, what are the ingredients that are necessary to be effective come playoff time? Like, what goes into building an ideal defense core in your mind? And do you think the Predators have that as they head into the second half of the season?
Yeah, the first half of the season is a lot of figuring out what you're all about and figuring out matchups and who's going to play with who and what, and ultimately, what is your identity? You know, like Josi is playing with Favreau, and they have a chemistry. And when they jump over the boards, what is their identity? You know, I played with Ray Bourque, and it was my identity when I was out was get it to Ray. You know, that was I would just try to clog up the front of the net, win a battle in the corner, and then get it over to Ray Bourque and let him do his thing. I don't think that's the same identity that Favreau and Josi have, but they complement each other in a different way. I played with Rob Scuderi, who is a stay-at-home defenseman. Our job was just to take care of our defensive zone, and that was in Pittsburgh, and we had success doing that. So you look at each partner you play with, and you find out what your role is going to be. I think Ekholm and Carrier are both great skaters, but they're both great skaters on the defensive side. So they can shut teams down and play against the top line. So they've developed that identity. And then, you know, ultimately, Benning comes back and he's healthy and he's playing with Borbietsky. And that becomes a physical penalty kill. If we need a spark with a fight, you're going to see those guys go out and punish someone. And so that becomes their identity. And I think when everyone has a role on a team, that's when you see success. But, there's always going to be changes that come. The injuries happen, and you're going to have to redefine that. But ultimately, in the second half of the season, you should know what you're about, and you should know how you're going to play each shift and who's going to step up at this time. When you need an offensive spark, obviously Roman Josi is going to go out there and give it to you. And so that's when it becomes fun, is you don't even have to look at the coach, right? You just know who's going. We're down a goal. Yost, get back out there. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. Favreau, we need you to pinch up and be more aggressive. If we're up a goal, hey, let's roll these 3 pairs. Let's get everyone out there. We know our matchups. We know what we're going to do. And that's when, that's when it becomes fun, because you're just going out and playing the game that you know how to play.
Hal, if there was something that, this team needs to improve on as it moves, into the second half of the season, moves toward the postseason. I mean, I do look at like secondary scoring, trying to find someone else, another line maybe that can give you a little bit more. Is that, would you look at that or something else?
Well, I do think, you have the Beast line, which has been fantastic. I'm waiting for that, that second line, you have Cousins or maybe Tolvanen playing with Johansson and Cunning, and I like what they offer. There's a physical side, and there's a scoring touch to that line. And then really the fourth line is where you go, okay, what do we have right there? Is that Tolvanen with McCarron and Tomasino? Can we get some scoring out of that? It's not like the old days where you have a fourth line that was just a bunch of dummies going out to fight. You need production. And what do you have a guy that's going to go in and run. I think McCarron fits the bill for a big physical, but he can make plays. And so he can help those guys out. He can kill penalties. You have Tomasino on that line, and is he filling on a power play on the second unit? Is he that guy? Can they tinker with that to make that line productive? I think that's going to be the question going forward. Do they add a complementary piece, maybe a veteran guy on that fourth line? I think you look at back at the success the Preds had. They had Vern Fidler, who went out there and served a big role as a fourth line guy. And so, there's certain guys out there that David Poile, I'm sure, is looking at maybe at the deadline to add to the team. I think that would be the spot where something might need to happen. But other than that, up and down the lineup, they've really gotten contributions from everyone. And so we talked about the D. They look solid. I think that's a D core that's ready for the playoffs. And then you have juice. The period to the Pred sentence, right? They're all good and juice.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good. I don't know if we've noticed that or not. He's pretty good. He's pretty awesome out there. Hal, tell us about your friends at Dunkin'.
Yeah, the newest location, the next-gen Dunkin' on 500 Cool Springs you talked about, is open now. And, it's a rainy day. There's nothing better than getting your dunks and enjoying a hot cup of coffee. But if you want a cold brew, they got it. They got everything now. Bagel bites with bacon and cheddar. I had those packed with protein. Those are good. I'm telling you, next level snack if you're looking for a snack. And now they have Valentine's Day treats. So go out and get your loved one a cookie, a heart-shaped cookie. They have donuts, special donuts. I know my daughters love those. So there's going to be a lot of treats going around the Gill family with Valentine's Day in mind. So go out there, get a hot cup of coffee from Dunks. It's my favorite. It should be yours. Go get your Dunks.
That's right. Skillsy, appreciate you taking time to join us. Go knock them dead in the skate.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Enjoy your All-Star break.
Absolutely. You as well. Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Hal had to say there. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvicker with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Hal Gill for joining us in the last segment. The Preds alumni still getting out there, getting after it. I've seen them skate a few times. Like JP Dumont, still, he's a stud out there, man.
He's
firing around.
He did the pancake eating contest with us, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like he was in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly better shape than other members of the pancake eating contest. Yeah. Who will go nameless?
Outsiders, as they say. Steven from Antioch texting in says, why can't we all get on the same page regarding Hal using Beast Line and everyone else using Herd Line? It's really dumb. Just a thought.
You know what else is dumb? I am so with you.
You know what else is dumb? Really, naming lines of any kind is dumb.
But I disagree.
If we really want to get into that,
that's disagree.
Fine.
And by the way, it wasn't all just a bunch of dummies in the past. Hal, how about my grind line, huh? Those guys got it done. Draper, Malt, me, and McCarty. Malt,
they
B
did.
And McCarty.
Yes.
They did. The grind line, baby. I like the production line. That's a great name. Most of them aren't good. That's the problem.
I know. That's why it's largely dumb to name them.
Well, but when you find a good one, honestly,
the Herd Line's good.
Kara Hammer. Props. Shout out forever. Herd Line. And here's why I like the Herd Line better than the Beast Line. Because Beast is like an overused sports term. We always say Beast.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Beast. Herd Line, that's just a cooler, and it's a little bit more, I think, direct on their the nicknames and it's perfect.
I hate it.
That's a good line.
I hated Jofa.
Oh, I did too.
I hated it.
And I get like the helmet brand, all that stuff. I don't care.
So dumb.
I hated Jofa. I never used it.
No, it's dumb.
But Herd Line, yes, I will use it.
I like the Herd Line a lot better. But like, if we're going to complain about, oh, well, they use the Herd Line, they use the Beast Line, naming lines in general is dumb. So let's not spend too much energy whining about it.
I disagree. and I'm going to start naming lines left and right on this show.
We just can just name you. All of them. Like, yeah, why the Forsberg-Duchesne-Granlund line's pretty darn good. Why didn't it have a name yet?
In all seriousness, it's about damn time it has one, and we're going to get that
there
done.
There we go.
Okay? Send in your entries.
Yeah. Joe, I'm so happy. You know, this time last year – well, not this time last year. Last summer, we had the pleasure of – having Olympics on in studio, the only live sports that ever take place while our show's on the air, the Olympics, when they're taking place across the world. And we're back to it again, the Winter Olympics, even though the opening ceremonies haven't happened yet, some games and events have already begun, and there's curling on the television right now, Canada taking on Norway. In all seriousness, like, how much do people care about the Winter Olympics, do you think?
I have a skewed view because the Olympics, I've always loved them, going back to my youth, and I love the Winter Olympics and always have. But I think here's the thing: I think it's less than I'd like it to be, and I also think, like, look at ratings in general. Unless you're the NFL,
yeah,
it's going down for everything.
Yeah,
right. I mean, there's just so many choices. It's not, you know, look, the Olympics was different too when, like, basically. Again, you have to be a certain age to get this, but like when there were like three channels.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those channels, it was nothing but the Olympics on at all times. So you're going to watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, now there's a million channels and everyone has their phone in their face. So
I tell you, I could watch curling all day, though. One of my favorite sports. It's underrated.
I love
some curling.
I love curling. I've been lucky enough to cover some serious
butt
curling.
Off right there. My goodness. What a sport. I love it.
I've covered a lot of curling in my life. And those Wisconsin
kids
from last Olympics, awesome, awesome people.
Are you missing football on Thursdays? Well, you could still turn every Thursday into payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel giving all customers $10 back every single Thursday. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same game parlays let you combine the money line, the point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. Give me the Clippers on the money line tonight against the Lakers on TNT. Give me Anthony Davis over on points scored. Lakers coming on a second half of back-to-back. But you take it any way you want to take it. It's the perfect way to turn a small bet into a big-time score. And guess what? If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up for promo code ROB to enjoy this special Super Bowl bet and get 56-1 odds on either team to win the Super Bowl. You can turn a $5 bet into $280 cash. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Especially, go ahead.
Matt and Becca Hamilton. Just want to give that shout out.
There you go.
Wisconsin curlers. Extraordinaire.
Apparently.
Brother and sister.
You know, Jared Allen was a curler at some point. Longtime defensive end in the National Football
and
League.
And was training here,
yeah.
In fact.
Yeah.
He lived here, too.
It's a popular sport.
Why was he not a Titan?
Well,
I don't know.
Jared Allen moving into the apparent compound that Aaron Rodgers is starting here in Williamson County, bringing all kinds of Packers people with him, just maybe some rivals as well.
The
former
branch,
NFLers.
The branch Rogerivians.
Maybe so. You're in a big-time kick of combining names now, aren't you? I saw Buck get after you yesterday, too.
Yeah, Buck's getting after a lot of people. Sit and spin, Buck. I've always had dumb puns coming out of my brain for no reason. To my detriment.
Michelle Perry.
Yeah, there's that favorite. Too.
Did I come up with that or did someone else? Because we have Keith now who
Keith
up,
came up
he's
with that
better
one.
Than me
yeah.
At
we,
these names.
Speaking of, we got a special edition of Courtside with Campbell Knezvik tonight, live.
Yeah.
6 to 7.
Six to seven.
Yeah, check it out. 102.5 The Game, 6 to 7 p.m.
And Elijah, how much? When we had Nick McDevitt on, did you hear the interview, Elijah? You can just shake or no, you didn't? Very disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
How much True Blue are we talking tonight? Okay, a little. All right.
Good enough. That's going to do it for
first place.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.